Good day, and welcome to the McClatchy fourth quarter 2017 earnings conference call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. Please note, this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Stephanie Zaretti. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Anita, and thank you all for joining us today for our fourth quarter 2017 earnings call. I'm Stephanie Zaretti, Investor Relations Manager, and I'll be available to answer any follow-up questions you may have after our call this morning. My phone number is 916-321-1931, and you can also find my contact information on our website. This call is being webcast at McClatchy.com and will be archived for future reference. Our earnings release was issued this morning before the market opened, and I hope you've had a chance to review it. Joining me today is Craig Forman, our President and CEO, our Vice President of Operations, Mark Zeman, and our Vice President and CFO, Elaine Linticum. This conference call will contain forward-looking statements that are subject to risks and uncertainties that are described in our SEC filings. Actual results may differ materially from those described during the call. Also, non-GAAP amounts discussed this morning are reconciled to the most directly comparable GAAP measures and schedules posted on our website or in the body of our press release. Now I'll turn the call over to Craig Forman.
Thank you, Stephanie. Good morning, and thank you for joining us today. In a challenging quarter, especially for print newspaper advertising, McClatchy's digital-only advertising and audience growth and our relentless focus on quality local news and information together underscore the accelerating progress of our operating transformation. How do we measure that acceleration? Growing digital subscribers and total digital audience and more digital-only advertising growth. It sometimes surprises people that less than 25 cents of every dollar of revenue at McClatchy comes from print newspaper advertising. Indeed, we are nearing the crossover point where digital advertising revenues exceed those from print newspaper advertising, and we expect to surmount that crossover point in 2018. We continue to focus on quality journalism and efficiency as our regional structure improves and focuses our coverage in the local communities where our brands remain renowned and across the country where our McClatchy journalism is increasingly synonymous with local relevance and national importance. Our digital-only advertising revenues for the year grew by 9.8%, which helped offset persistent declines in print advertising seen across the entire industry, minimizing our total revenue declines to 7.5% compared to last year. For the fourth quarter, we reported adjusted earnings of $3.2 million and adjusted EBITDA of $53.7 million. While the headwinds in print newspaper advertising performance obscured progress we began to see in December, our focus on cost control and business process improvement offset a portion of the advertising revenue declines. As a result of those efforts, we saw operating expense savings of 6.1% quarter over quarter. During 2017, we generated adjusted EBITDA of $150.2 million, excluding the cost of executive management changes, and we also reduced net debt by $162.8 million to just over $700 million in 2017. The reductions in debt were mainly in our secured debt, which, as of today, totals only $365 million remaining that is due 5 years from now. To put this achievement in context, almost 12 years ago, following McClatchy's acquisition of Knight Ridder, we had $3.2 billion in debt. This significant progress in debt reduction has been consistent, and if anything, has only intensified more recently, certainly in the three full quarters since I've been chief executive. The road to transformation isn't easy, and while we still have a lot to do, we continue to make strategic gains in the fourth quarter. In 2017, in terms of digital progress, we hit a record 1 billion page views, and our unique visitors were up 9% compared to the fourth quarter a year earlier. This is the result of a strategic combination of audience engagement initiatives. We converted current home delivery subscribers and brought in new digital subscribers. We launch new products and sunset some aging ones, and we work to reach new audiences with services ranging from email and messaging alerts to real-time social media engagement. Digital subscribers grew to nearly 103,000, a sequential increase of 11% and 24% growth from last year. On expenses, operating expenses were down 6.1% in the quarter, or 8.3% for the full year, primarily costs associated with the legacy print side of the business. And we plan to continue finding efficiencies and reducing legacy costs in 2018. In fact, in January of 2018, we outsourced the printing of our Biloxi, Mississippi Sun News, and just this month, we fully outsourced preprint inserting for the Miami Herald to third parties. We will realize the cost savings for these moves throughout 2018. Late in the fourth quarter, we began to regionalize our newsroom leadership structure, which is a natural extension of our newsroom reinvention efforts you heard about through 2017. As the newsroom reinvention process expands, you can expect opportunities for further efficiencies and greater digital focus in our markets and regions, even as we remain committed to our vision of being essential to our audiences and our advertising customers, who are, after all, our neighbors in the 30 markets around the nation that together make McClatchy. We are moving more quickly to develop an enterprise-wide data platform and a technology infrastructure that enables us to have a single view of our customers. This single view will enable us to better understand those customers, deliver an increasingly sophisticated experience based on interests and desires, and provide McClatchy better marketing analytics and reporting tools. This capacity, coupled with our digital subscriber platform, will open new avenues for audience and advertising revenue. We are also developing additional products internally, like our Accelerate Automotive solutions, to succeed the Cars.com products as they're transitioned, which Mark will be speaking about in a moment, and partnering with digital vendors to assist in supplementing our digital portfolio to strengthen our bench of products and services that we can provide to our subscribers and advertisers. There is more to come from McClatchy. Even with all these changes, and in some instances because of them, we've continued to strengthen extraordinary journalism across our communities. From the Miami Herald's investigations into abuses in the Florida juvenile justice system, to Why So Secret Kansas, the recent Kansas City Star's expose on the profound lack of transparency in state government, to the series of news breaks and other scoops our Washington Bureau has produced on the investigation of Russian interference and influence in the 2016 election and the outlook for the 2018 midterm elections, to stories all across McClatchy that hold politicians, government officials, and institutions accountable for their actions, we're proud of the body of work we produced in 2017 and excited about the work we've already published as we start the new year. Now I'll turn the call over to Elaine to discuss our operating results for the quarter.
Thanks, Craig. First, a bit of housekeeping. Our fourth quarter includes an extra week, and results discussed during the call will be on a 14-week, 53-week basis compared to prior year, unless otherwise stated. We've provided schedules in the press release that show the 13-week and 52-week estimated results for your modeling and comparison purposes. But to put it in perspective, the week after Christmas is not a particularly active one, so the impact of that week is not material to our results. In the fourth quarter, we reported adjusted net income of $3.2 million. Our adjusted EBITDA declined 15% compared to the 2016 quarter, but we still saw our adjusted EBITDA margins hold steady with less than a percent difference in the quarter and year end. Total revenues were down 6.7% compared to the same period a year ago. Revenues exclusive of print advertising accounted for about 75% of total revenues in the quarter, an increase from the same period last year as we continue to work towards less reliance on print advertising. Advertising revenues in the fourth quarter were down 12.7% in total. The decline in advertising is largely due to lower print advertising, which is mainly attributable to the continued headwinds we faced in preprint and retail environment, and our switch to a digital-only provider for digital employment advertising, Recruitology, after selling CB, which was mostly a bundled print digital advertising product. However, the print declines and the digital-only growth means that there's greater opportunity to hasten our digital transition through conversion of print advertisers to digital customers. We've already seen that in several categories, such as auto, employment, and national advertising. And now we're seeing it in other categories, such as grocery, engaging in our digital advertising products more and more. Our digital-only advertising revenues softened a bit in the last few months as retail spending dipped below prior quarters, but finished the fourth quarter at a 9.6% growth rate and a full-year growth of 9.8% compared to the same periods last year, just shy of our double-digit historical trends. Direct marketing declined 9.9%. This category was negatively impacted by Hurricane Irma due to some cancellations of year-end travel and tourism publications produced by our Miami Herald for clients across the Caribbean, and the Caribbean is still rebuilding from that hurricane. In audience, total revenues increased 2.5% in the quarter. We ended the year with strong cost controls and will keep our focus on operating efficiencies in 2018. In our fourth quarter, we saw unadjusted and adjusted operating costs decline 6.1% and 4% in the quarter, respectively. The fourth quarter saw the benefit of a shift to regional and centralization functions in numerous of areas and continued reinvention of our newsrooms. These changes are reflected mainly in compensation, though other variable costs like newsprint also declined in the quarter. Now let me turn the call over to Mark to provide an update on our advertising and audience revenue strategies.
Thank you, Elaine. In the fourth quarter, our digital advertising represented 34.8% of our total advertising revenues, up almost 5 points from the same quarter a year earlier. If you add in our direct marketing products and services, then more than half, or about 56% of our advertising revenues, are no longer connected to our daily print newspaper. Print is still an important part of our business, and we will continue to print, deliver, and place valuable advertising in our newspapers, but our future and focus is clearly on digital revenues in both advertising and audience. So let's first look at digital advertising. As several of our industry peers have noted, the fourth quarter started off a bit soft, but by December, we returned to double-digit growth in digital-only revenue, driven by strong results in national, video, and our Accelerate digital agency. For the full quarter, we came in a bit shy of double digits, or 9.6% above the fourth quarter in 2016. Our national digital revenues are now more than 70% of our total national revenues, the opposite of where it was 4 years ago. Two-thirds of our national digital revenue come from programmatic, which was up 29% in the quarter over 2016, despite rolling over some strong traffic drivers, including the presidential election and Hurricane Matthew. We're now finishing up our first full year of operations for Accelerate, our digital marketing agency, and it grew rapidly last quarter. Accelerate now manages 110 different ad campaigns across our 30 McClatchy markets and a few other cities as well. It ended the year strong, booking nearly $3 million a month in current and future revenues, and with a pipeline of more than $28 million. We expect it to be a strong contributor to digital growth in 2018. In the fourth quarter, we again saw our classified category struggle as the digital bundled part of that business continues to decline along with print. But the digital-only classified revenue performs much better. Our real estate and employment categories have seen digital-only revenue growth every quarter this past year. Our employment digital-only revenues grew more than 27% in the fourth quarter as we replaced our Career Builder business with Recruitology. You'll recall we sold most of our interest in Career Builder last year. It was largely a bundled solution for us with our print newspapers, while Recruitology is only digital. The transition has been fairly smooth, the partnership is working well for us, and we anticipate continued momentum in 2018 as we look to add more products and services to this category. Our automotive category has been soft, and we've reported total digital and digital-only declines. In the fourth quarter, we announced that we will be transitioning all of our markets back to cars.com by October of this year, about a year earlier than our affiliate agreement deadline. But in return, we will receive a revenue share through the end of 2019, which largely covers our current net revenues currently from cars.com. Plus, we'll be able to shed costs and refocus our auto sales staff on our own digital suite of auto products through Accelerate. We believe this will stabilize auto revenue in 2018 and put us on a stronger footing going into next year. Our video revenues grew 47% in the fourth quarter compared to the same quarter in 2016. We also saw record video views across all of our platforms, a total of 130.8 million views, up 95% compared to Q4 2016. That's up about 25% from the third quarter when we also reported record video views. For the full year 2017, our video views were more than 336 million, up 62% from a year earlier. Turning to our audience measurements, we posted record digital-only subscriptions of about 103,000, or an increase of 24% compared to last year. In the fourth quarter, our audience revenues were up 2.5% on digital audience revenue growth of 8.2%. As Craig reported earlier, our total page views grew almost 10% to just over a billion in the fourth quarter compared to the same period last year. Total average unique visitors grew 9% to 71 million, and our local unique visitors grew almost 7% over the same period, again, despite cycling over some strong comparisons from the election and hurricane. This was largely the result of our ongoing newsroom reinvention efforts, and we also saw strong growth in our e-edition product, which we bolstered in the fourth quarter with additional pages of news content. And now I'll turn it back to Elaine to complete the review of our fourth quarter results.
Thanks, Mark. Looking at our capital structure, in the fourth quarter, interest costs related to bonds were down about $500,000 and down $3.5 million for all of 2017. Including the redemption of $75 million of 9% notes in January of this year, we repurchased a total of $143.7 million of debt since the beginning of 2017, and we expect cash interest savings in excess of $10 million in 2018. In the fourth quarter, we completed the sale of our Raleigh, North Carolina, and Merced, California real property for approximately $22 million of gross proceeds. We received about $90 million in gross proceeds from real estate sales throughout 2017, as we also sold properties earlier in the year. In 2018, we expect to realize another $25 million of pre-tax proceeds from the sale of property in Columbia, South Carolina, and a few other smaller properties. We will consider a sales leaseback of our Kansas City Production Center, which is also home to our office needs for the Kansas City Star, and if that property closes in 18, it would boost those proceeds substantially. As of the end of January, after our $75 million redemption, we had debt outstanding of about $730 million and cash on hand of about $30 million, leaving net debt at $700 million. Our first lien ratio, after considering the $75 million redemption, is 2.2 times EBITDA. At year-end 2017, our total leverage ratio was 4.46 times cash flow, as defined in our credit agreement. And we also have an unused $65 million revolving credit facility. We remain confident in our ability to manage debt and expect to reduce our debt even further in coming quarters while continuing to invest in the business. We continue to consider our options for the capital structure. We have nearly 5 full years before the 9% bonds come due in December 2022, and we have a blended interest rate of about 8% on our debt. So we don't feel compelled to refinance unless we can do so on terms that are more advantageous than our current terms. We may occasionally test the market, but we remain disciplined in our review and in our financial decisions. Our capital expenditures were $3.8 million in the fourth quarter and totaled $11.2 million for full year 2017. Finally, our unfunded pension obligations remained largely unchanged from the end of 2016 at about $485 million, actually a couple million dollars less than where we were at the end of 2016. Strong asset returns more than offset the lower discount rate at the end of 2017. Our IRS underfunding, which differs from GAAP and dictates the amount of annual contributions, was about $231 million at the end of 2017, so about half of the GAAP amount. We're happy to see the 10-year Treasury rates moving up, and as you know, all other things being equal, higher bond yields will help the funding of defined benefit plans, including McClatchy's. And now I'll turn the call back over to Craig to discuss our outlook.
Thank you, Elaine. We expect 2018 to be a milestone year in which we see digital advertising revenues exceed those of print advertising. To be sure, this crossover point reflects our expectation of continued declines in print advertising, but we also expect to continue to post strong digital revenue growth this year as we increase our digital product offerings and opportunities. It is our focus on new subscriber and advertising products and go-to-market strategies that will be the headline of our digital transformation story in 2018. We also expect growth in digital subscribers, but do expect for audience revenues to be down in the low single-digit range as print readers continue to decline. We will remain focused on the drivers of our business, high-quality journalism, innovative products, and remaining essential to our customers. Our strategies for 2018 include accelerate our digital transformation by driving revenues through investments in Accelerate, video, and technology, including further improvements to our digital subscription platform. Align our customer data across the organization and improve our customer insights so that we can drive audience growth and improve financial performance. Further improve the quality and productivity of our journalism by rolling out our newsroom regionalization and centralization efforts, and continue to remove legacy costs while investing in our high-quality workforce. We plan to reduce operating expenses and will monitor costs throughout the year to achieve expense performance in line with revenue performance, despite the additional investments we are making in news and sales infrastructures. Proceeds from real estate sales will be used, along with cash from operations, to delever the company through debt reductions and to further invest in the business. And lastly, we expect capital expenditures between $10 million and $14 million in 2018, and there are no required pension contributions in the fiscal year. So, to summarize, this was a quarter that highlights the continuing acceleration of our digital transition, measured by more digital subscribers, more digital-only advertising growth, and nearing the crossover point where digital advertising revenues exceed those from print newspaper advertising. We expect to surmount that crossover point in 2018. We continue to focus on quality journalism and efficiency as our regional structure improves and focuses our coverage in the local communities where our brands remain renowned and across the country where McClatchy increasingly is synonymous with our local relevance and our national importance. And finally, we maintain our relentless focus on returns to all our shareholders and stakeholders as we continue to delever a balance sheet where first lien leverage now stands at $365 million out of our total debt of $730 million. This compares with a balance sheet that only 12 years ago had debt of $3.2 billion related to the acquisition that created one of America's largest local news and information companies, which we are proud after 161 years in the business to remain. And with that, we're happy to take your questions.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. The first question comes from Avi Steiner with J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thanks for taking the questions. I've got a few here. If I could start off just on the inflection comments, and if I wanted to baseline it, is the right number to start that we should be looking at the 321 million print-only pro forma for the 52 weeks compared to the 171 of digital-only, or is it the 132? And then can you remind us the difference between those numbers again, those last two digital numbers, that would be helpful.
Just give me a moment while I catch up with where exactly you are.
Pro forma part at the statistical.
I got you.
Go ahead.
I got you, Abby. The 132.052 is the 52-week pro forma number, and that is the basis on which you should start in terms of looking at our projections for double-digit revenue growth next year. In terms of the print advertising, we actually are not looking at the 320. We're looking at in-newspaper print advertising, and so I would suggest that from that you should be backing out the direct marketing number for the year, which is about $41 million. And so that underlying print number of that reflects on the pro forma that reflects print in-newspaper advertising is what we're referring to.
That clarification is helpful. Thank you. And from a growth rate perspective, I think you just touched on the double-digit growth, and this call has discussed a couple of that avenues, but I'm wondering, or how to get there, but I'm wondering if you could dig a little deeper, just given where Q4 ended up on digital only, and I know you said it accelerated through the quarter, so if you could just talk about how it ended. If I missed it on the prepared remarks, I apologize.
No, that's okay, Abby. I'll go first, and then Mark will have some details. So Q4, as it was for other companies in the sector who've already reported, was, that's a slight exaggeration to say it was a tale of two quarters, but it started out soft and then ended somewhat stronger. I mean, it's hard to recall so much has happened, but you know, macroeconomically, the beginning of the quarter, tax reform was uncertain. There was a looming federal government shutdown. We operate in some parts of the country which, while they're growing faster, are particularly related to the defense sector and other government sectors, even if it's contractors. And so there was an impact on the early part of the quarter that we didn't see as the quarter ended. And so I think the other perspective to keep in mind is that in Q4 of 17, we were cycling over some strength in the year earlier period that we also tend to forget. The election, there were some impacts because of strength in South Florida with the passing of Fidel Castro and special issues and the like. So there were some ins and outs in the quarter that meant it was a bit of a contrast that we saw within the quarter. Mark?
Yeah, no, that's right. And also, once we got into December, we also had some softer comps in retail. We had already switched to Recruitology, which fully cycled over, that wasn't the case earlier in the quarter. And we also had an exceptionally strong month in national digital. So all those things combined, I think, were the reason behind why December was stronger than October and November. And so in December, we got back to double-digit growth in our digital-only revenue.
Thank you for that. And then turning to the balance sheet, Elaine, did I hear correctly, real quick, $25 million on remaining real estate for this year before KC, and adding KC would be substantial? Did I hear that correctly, and how should we think about KC and the word substantial?
Well, we're not discussing the sales price of KC on this call. We choose not to negotiate against ourselves. The $25 million is based on what's in the hopper now. We certainly have other assets that could go on the market and could close. There's a good chance that $25 million is a conservative number even without Kansas City. So let me say that first. But you did hear the number right, and that $25 million is based on assets for which we have a current purchase and sale agreement, one of which has already closed and two others which haven't. There are other properties that are for sale and under which we're working with LOIs that could close. But the biggest property remaining, I guess, that has not yet been sold would be Kansas City.
Right. And can you refresh us on the total financial obligations and annual lease expenses at this point? And on the same topic, is that excluded from your leverage calculation, I assume, from a covenant perspective?
It is not excluded from the calculation that relates to the indenture covenant. It is excluded from the bank calculation of 4.46. So our indenture covenant at the end of the year, including that attributable debt, it was 5.21. And then if you back out the $75 million that we just reduced in January, it's 4.74, 4.75, something like that. So not terribly different than the 4.46. And then what was the other question, Avi? I apologize.
We can follow up offline. That's fine. I want to get through a couple more and turn it over.
Okay.
On the same topic, I think you've historically focused on repaying the secured portion of capital structure with free cash flow and asset sale proceeds. And I know how you're going to answer this already, but I want to assume that the right way to think about it is that will continue to be the case, especially at least, you know, right now the nines seem to be a little bit below the call price, and also given where the longer dated unsecured spread.
I think you answered the question as you were asking the question, Avi. I really do. Yes.
Okay. I'm going to end it on this, and thank you for the time. So there was a pretty notable newspaper M&A on the West Coast for people that still pay attention to newspaper M&A. It was a pretty healthy multiple, and I'm curious if it changes anyone's thoughts, you know, there, maybe with the family, with respect to McClatchy's portfolio. Are there any opportunities to prune any part of it, perhaps to a wealthy patron? I don't have a better description for a one-off individual, but your thoughts there would be great. Thank you very much for the time.
No, thanks for the question, Avi, and we understand it, and actually it's a good opportunity for us to say a few things. Look, we were, I guess the right word was, you know, aware, and it's always good to see one of our brethren in the industry get a attractive valuation for a terrific asset. We own a number of those in the 30 markets that make McClatchy. And, you know, it's consistent with what we've always believed, that these renowned brands with their status in their communities coupled with intelligent digital transformation strategies are wonderful, valuable media companies. And that's probably what we should say with regard to the price that, that recent transaction in Los Angeles had. I think when you look at McClatchy, we really are, you know, very clear-eyed and take our duty to all of our shareholders very seriously. So we'd look at anything that improved shareholder value as a fiduciary duty. We got a very attractive price when we sold our last large asset in this case, which was the paper that we sold in Anchorage in 2014. And so I think that establishes our bona fides as a board and as a management team in the way that we approach these things. But that said, that's probably all I should say. We continue to be very focused on the operating management of the business and firm believers in its value.
Thanks for
Avi, I just want to clarify one question that you asked regarding the inflection point. I don't think you can actually get to the answer that you're looking for from our statistical report, because we include preprint advertising in the total retail. So I think if you look at the 320 million base of total print, you back out direct marketing, and then also preprint advertising that's included in the underlying number, the base of newspaper advertising is more like about 143 million, and that's the number that we're comparing to.
Thanks for the clarification.
The next question comes from Michael Kapinski with Noble Financial. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thanks for taking the questions. I guess I'm just trying to drill down a little bit in terms of the tone of retail and direct marketing, I guess, because those two categories seem to be a little bit better than what I was expecting in the fourth quarter. And I was just trying to understand what were the drivers. And certainly from the retail perspective, it looked like the decline was moderated from the third quarter a little bit. And I was just wondering if you can give me some thoughts about the tone of retail, how things are looking. You know, some have suggested that retailers are benefiting from lower taxes and that savings might be allocated to the marketing, or it was just a little bit better Christmas. I mean, can you just give us a flavor of the tone of those categories?
Yeah, it's tricky, Michael, obviously, because it's tricky for us to talk about how the current quarter is trending, so I won't do that. But I will say that retail, you know, it's a large sector of the economy, and it has both, you know, impacts across big box versus other sorts of specialty retail and geographically, which we see, you know, given our geographic spread, we're in the parts of America that are growing fastest or faster than the parts of America where McClatchy doesn't really have news assets. And so we see some of that impact, but it's also not uniform, and that's worth keeping in mind as well. There's more subtlety here than sometimes it appears because of the headlines that we might see about retailers selling, you know, iconic operations as Macy's did in its former Burdine's flagship in Miami, which I think they announced in the fourth quarter. So I think there's more nuance there. Mark, I don't know if you want to add anything.
Well, it's also there's nuance within the retail category for us in terms of digital and print. You know, and we did see a softness in retail, although perhaps a little better than in Q3, but in both print and digital, which affected our results across the board, but it was largely in the print and digital bundled areas, not the digital-only area. In retail, print revenue, our largest declines, once again, came from department stores and some degree the health category. Some of those did well in the Christmas season, some of them didn't. depending on stories that you've read. In digital-only retail revenue, we actually saw growth of about 12% in the quarter, with some nice gains in appliance and furnitures and dining and entertainment categories. And so it was mixed even within our own company in terms of which retail sectors were doing well and which ones weren't. But we did see, for all the reasons we said earlier, we did see a pickup toward the end of the year.
Gotcha. And on the expense side, can you give us an update on your outlook for newsprint prices? I understand that there are some prospects that there might be some tariffs implemented on Canadian newsprint suppliers. I was wondering if you could talk about the likelihood of that and what your thoughts are on newsprint prices for the year.
Michael, I'll let Elaine get into some of the detail about pricing because of, you know, her long tenure at McClatchy. She's seen the dramatic change in the impact of newsprint on our overall OPEX. But I will say that it is another sign of the transformation when you think about the relative OPEX on newsprint of 2017 versus where it would have been at its peak. It's really kind of breathtaking. Elaine?
Sure. We do think that there could be pressure on pricing in 2018, and we've seen some of that early in the year. We think that's going to be more than offset with lower newsprint usage, so we don't expect that you'll see newsprint expenses going up substantially. I guess I'd also point out that newsprint is only about 4% of our operating expenses now, and that was at one time almost 20% of our operating expenses. But the business has changed so much that while it's still our primary raw material that we use, it's no longer as significant an element in our operating costs just because of the change in the business as we've moved forward. So I do think that we'll see some pressure on pricing early in 2018 at the very least. I think that will be more than offset in newsprint volume declines, depending on how business is going in the print area. But I think we've been pretty clear that we don't expect to see a significant change in trends in terms of the underlying move from print to digital. We're even beginning to see some of our grocers approach us on more digital advertising as we move into 2018. And so we think that trend just is what it is. And so I think newsprint itself, in terms of a cost, will continue to be less of an important factor in our cost structure.
Yeah, so just put the spotlight on that. You know, as we talk about digital transformation, we often talk about new sources of revenue and customer understanding that allows us to exert some pricing pressure and header bidding on the programmatic side of our digital monetization strategy, and it can sound like a very different business as indeed it is from the world of newsprint pricing pressures and, you know, Canadian pulp mills. But I think if you take a step back, you say, wow, 4% of OPEX, you know, in Elaine's career, it was nearly 20% at a time ago. It's really a staggering change in the way that these businesses operate, and I think that's the point we'd leave you with. And it's a similar thing to the point that I think Abby was asking about before. When we say the crossover point, that's the crossover point where digital monetization, advertising monetization, compares with print in newspaper, print graphical advertising. And so that's an important distinction to draw, and that's the reason why we want to underline that. Michael, did you have a follow-up?
Yeah, I did. And just to be clear, though, the thoughts on the newsprint pricing doesn't reflect tariffs. It's, you're just reflecting general pricing trends.
No, I think that also does reflect the impact of potential tariffs, and we're beginning to see some of that.
Okay, gotcha. And then in terms of the compensation line, certainly has come down. It was actually lower than I expected in the fourth quarter as well, but the percentage declines is now kind of moderating a lot, and I would assume that you're probably not cutting headcount as much as you were. Can you kind of give me an idea in terms of the headcount reduction at this point and what your thoughts are in terms of the prospect of still re-engineering the business? Do you think that there will be further head cuts in 2018, or just kind of give us a thought on what that line item might look like going forward?
Sure. Our headcount at the end of the fourth quarter in terms of FTEs was about just under 4,000, about 3,900, and that compares to about 4,600 from last year, so down about 15%. We don't have projections for that going forward. I think we've done a lot of work in rationalizing as we have continued to look at cost efficiencies in our business. That's not to say that there won't be additional cost efficiencies found in our business. We pointed out that just early this year, we have already signed a contract to outsource our operations in Biloxi and to fully outsource preprint inserts in Miami. And there may be other things that we can do. So it's, you know, we will look at those opportunities as we move forward. I think it's safe to say that you should not expect that FTE will grow. I think we are adding FTEs where it makes sense in our digital operation, digital sales, and in some cases in editorial, and in other places we'll be cutting FTEs, but net-net, we don't expect to see growth in FTEs, and likely it will go down some, but we don't have a prediction for a specific amount.
Gotcha. I think that's all for now. I appreciate all the questions. Thank you.
The next question comes from Craig Huber with Huber Research Partners. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Maybe I'll start with newsprint. I'm just curious, in the quarter, Elaine, adjusting for the extra week for newsprint, how much was the consumption down year over year? And also curious, the average price percent change.
Consumption was down about 18% and prices were down about 4%.
Okay, thank you for that. I heard some of your comments on the cars.com earlier in the discussion, but I'm just curious, how much revenue is cars.com produced for you? So once you get through 2019, how much could potentially is going to go away versus what you reported in your numbers here for 2017? Well, we'll be talking roughly half of the auto classified line, or how much is it, please, just roughly?
Yeah, so we don't break that out for obvious reasons, but I guess what I'd direct you to is, you know, the market for automotive advertising has changed dramatically in the 20 years since the online revolution began, and it continues to change and evolve a lot. Cars.com has been an investment of ours. It's a partner of ours. We're transitioning to it now that it's a public company to a strategy that works for both of us. And it's an important part of what we're doing through Accelerate, our own digital agency. And Accelerate is having success in our markets and in a couple of contiguous markets where we may not own a masthead, but where we've also stood up the Accelerate agency. So I think the way to look at this is not cars.com, but the automotive vertical and its opportunity for a company like McClatchy. And we remain sanguine about the prospects for us to be an important player in our local communities for automotive.
I think as Mark disclosed, coupled with the revenue share that we have for the next 2 years and our sales and Accelerate, we don't expect the top line to change significantly. And I think Craig makes a good point. It's looking at the automotive category. And how do our revenues change under this new construct? We think not materially in 2018. And we're not making projections for 19 and 20 until we get to those years.
And one last thing I'd add is that actually the deal with cars gives us an extra year to grow our non-cars revenue so that at the end of 19, we're much more fully stood up with our total auto strategy and revenue package.
Should we also assume then that there's a decent amount of costs that are going to come out from your end? I mean, personnel costs I'm talking about once this is all done. And I'm trying to get to how much profitability is at risk here that you might lose once you get through this transition versus what happened like in 2017. I think that's what investors probably care about.
Well, let's remember that this transition goes for, we're in month two, so it goes for another 22 months, right? So this is not something that you can do the model that you choose, but this is not something that has an abrupt end, and this is a business we know well since it was before my time, but we were one of the original investors in cars.com mm-hmm. going back to the Classified Ventures days, if I remember my internet historiography. And, you know, cars.com is now a public company and is trading its own way as a valuable partner, channel partner of ours, and we work with them in many markets. And so we've transitioned it to a different sector. They face new headwinds and a lot of competition in the digital market for automobile, what would have been termed automobile classified, but now is direct-to-consumer business in lots of different ways. So the way that we look at it, the way we looked at it as a board, the way we look at it as a management team, Craig, is, look, the automotive opportunity in the United States is changing dramatically because of technology and empowering consumers to be educated people. We operate in markets, and we can help connect automotive sector to those buyers and help those buyers better understand the automotive choices that they have. And that's what using digital technology is all about. Plus, we have our platform that, you know, many of our customers are really familiar with that's in the printed publications that we produce. And so we're pretty, as I say, we're pretty sanguine about our ability over 22 months to have this continue to be an attractive area for McClatchy.
Okay, thank you for that. On the retail numbers, you know, your year-to-date numbers last year, your print retail was down about $47 million. Your digital was up about $2 million for ad revenues here. What is your sense of where that $47 million of print that you lost in 2017, where did it go? You got a little bit obviously on the digital side, but where did it go in the marketplace? What other medias? I just want to hear your updated thoughts on that, if I could.
So I would say first that that's not all in newspaper advertising. Some of that is in preprint. Some of that is direct marketing. And some of it didn't go anywhere. The truth of the matter is, Craig, that the retail industry is one that's in tumult and one that is ever-changing. And what a number of retailers have done is simply cut back their advertising spend. And so we would suggest that you talk to your contacts in the retail industry if you want to understand what they're doing for advertising. But we work with them on getting the right kinds of advertising in our products, print where it works for them and digital where it works for them. But since we don't run their businesses directly, it's difficult for us to say exactly what they're doing with their cost structure. With that, I'll turn it over to Mark.
No, I think that's right. I mean, a lot of what you've seen in the preprint and the direct marketing categories has been these retailers under a lot of pressure themselves, cutting back on their marketing spend, going dark for a certain amount of periods, having smaller packages, having fewer pages, sort of feathering where they're going to go versus doing a total market strategy. And, you know, we are working with them to try to move their marketing dollars into digital versus just cutting them completely, and we've had some successes in some cases with that. But a lot of this has not been that newspapers aren't working for them. It's just that they're under some stress and they're trying to find ways to save money.
And then let me just add, that number is not, as Elaine said, the retail sector, and we've talked about it in our previous calls, so I won't spend any time. Everyone reads the headlines and knows just how challenging it's been in the retail environment with store closures and all that sort of thing. The only thing I'd leave you with, Craig, is we obviously don't break this out, but part of the digital growth comes from working with a variety of programmatic networks. One of the underappreciated but strong programmatic networks is maintained and owned by Amazon, and that's one of our programmatic networks. So it's hard to tease out of the numbers, but as we become increasingly digital, you're also seeing players who are considered to be retailers but are actually platform companies become part of our ecosystem for programmatic targeted advertising. So that's not a one-for-one trade-off. It's a very different business, but I'm, you know, by implication, suggest that it's a more complicated situation than simply retailers have problems, face headwinds, and therefore, you know, the print newspaper catches cold.
My question I want to ask you off of that, please, for your digital advertising up roughly 2% for last year, you know, including the extra week, can you talk about the unit pricing on a comparable basis as best you can, you know, a year-over-year basis? I mean, how has it changed for your company, for your digital advertising? You know, volume,
well, remember,
versus price. Is there a sense you can give us on that?
Yeah, remember digital, the number you're referring to, includes bundled. And bundled includes some of the headwinds that when we sell a print and digital bundle, you don't necessarily see the positive impact of the digital contribution because in a print and digital bundle, the print headwinds may affect the overall number. So the ratio is changing. We don't break out some of that information, but, you know, I guess what I'd say is it is important to watch our digital-only advertising and our overall digital number, because that's the only way you can begin to separate the headwinds caused by the kind of continuing decline, and what I referred to in my prepared remarks, of the decline in print graphical newspaper advertising and its overall impact on digital success. So that's an important distinction to draw.
Would you say then this up 10% for digital-only advertising was driven primarily by volume as opposed to price?
No, it's both.
Both. Okay, that's helpful. And then my other question is on the on your audience circulation revenues, basically flat here. Obviously, the volume for print, which is the lion's share of the overall number there, down about 12%. Can you just talk a little bit about what you did with home delivery pricing? I know it's bundled, but home delivery pricing this last year and what your thoughts are on home delivery pricing for this upcoming year, please.
Sure. Obviously, we have 30 markets, and so this isn't a one-size-fits-all across all of McClatchy, but we have, as many of our peers have been doing, working with Mather Economics and other partners to continue to go to more of a dynamic pricing model for our home delivery customers and our print customers and our digital-only customers as well. And so we did take prices up in several areas across our markets, which helped offset some of the volume declines that we see every year from the print combo subscribers. And we did obviously try to offset that as well with more digital-only subscribers, which we had pretty good success at. One of the data points there is that if you look at the improvements that we've seen in digital-only since we've launched our new subscriber platform, we've continued to see acceleration of the growth rate in revenue in that area all year long. And it's just pretty strong numbers, as we talked about earlier in the call remarks, in terms of 24% growth in digital-only subscribers in the fourth quarter. And so we're trying to offset the continued decline in print, which we expect will continue, just as the decline in print advertising will continue, with some pricing strategies in single copy and home delivery and in growing our digital-only subscriptions.
Craig, we appreciate all your questions, but we'd like to have others have an opportunity to ask some questions as well. So if you
absolutely.
Could be respectful
yep.
of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Davis Hebert with Wells Fargo. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for taking the questions. I have sort of a big picture digital question. There seems to be a lot of noise in this space. There's national media outlets that have missed their digital revenue growth targets. I don't know if it's Facebook related or difficulty capturing mobile impressions. But clearly with your guidance, you're seeing fairly consistent growth. You seem to have a lot of visibility. So I'm just wondering if you could connect the dots for us on what you're seeing and what you're accomplishing versus maybe some of the other concerns we're hearing in the industry.
Well, I'll take it first, Davis, and then Mark may have some color. I think one of the hard things here, honestly, in a conference call that's gone for nearly an hour, is that there's a lot of nuance in the digital monetization ecosystem. And it's not as simple as a share number or a headline that says, you know, out of a dollar of growth, XX cents go to the platform companies and only YY remains, right? Those being the variables. And what you see at a company like McClatchy, where the digital transformation, I think, is gathering pace and cadence and maybe increasing as we become even more sophisticated from an already pretty sophisticated base, of using data and technology and partnering with platforms to penetrate better, that we're unlocking some of those opportunities. We talked about that in the very first conference call that I did in this role when I became the CEO from the board about a year ago today. And so that's been the focus of the strategy. It's difficult for ecosystems in transition to fully explain all of this because this is a transition from, and you can even see it in this call, a focus on the variability of newsprint pricing and its impact and variance on the sensitivity in the business model to let's talk about trends in programmatic advertising and your ability to penetrate with greater sophistication and drive higher ECPMs across your network that reaches 70 plus million monthly active users, which is a large platform and one of the largest platforms in the branded local news and information industry. And so I totally appreciate the thrust of your question and look forward to kind of continuing to describe it, but I think it comes from a very sober and very thoughtful and really deep understanding and increasing pace and cadence about being one of the players who can convert that digital opportunity for local advertisers.
That's a fair explanation. And then if I may, the pivot to video has been a little bit divisive in terms of the impact it's had on the industry. I've heard a little bit less on video in this call than in past McClatchy calls. Do you think the pivot to video has been somewhat disappointing, or is it something you're going to press the accelerator on?
Oh, no, we're super behind video. We don't mean to, by implication, because we haven't you know, thrown more nouns and verbs at you to by that not keep our focus on video. And if you go back to our growth, it's been a real hallmark of success in 2017. So no, by no means. We have investment going on there, and this is part of the transition and kind of gets to the overall question that came up earlier about headcount. We do have different sorts of journalists and sales people and sales leaders that come from the transition to being a more profoundly digital enterprise. Video is a big part of that. I think some local news and information companies have struggled a little bit. You know, traditionally newspapers didn't view themselves as being sources of video, but in a world of over-the-top services, we're able now to serve, you know, hundreds of millions of videos to those 70 million more monthly active users. And so we still look at it as a big opportunity and don't at all mean by implication to suggest that it's not a focus. It is.
And David, okay. Just to add some verbs and nouns around that, our video views were up 95% in the quarter and our video revenue was up 47%. So
well,
we care a lot.
To go back and connect it to your first question, you know, video was one of the fastest growing areas of engagement and revenue for us. And so just like our Accelerate digital agency services. And so we're putting our resources and our focus into those fast-growing areas. And we're seeing, you know, we've seen steady and significant growth in video and programmatic and Accelerate and branded content and, you know, other categories throughout the 2017. We're seeing that growth continue in 2018. That's where we're putting our focus. That's where we're putting our resources. And that's one of the reasons why we are confident that digital-only revenue can continue to grow.
Okay, that's a really helpful caller. Just last one real quick. Tax reform, could you just tell us what your cash taxes were in the fourth quarter and how we should be modeling that for the next couple of years, given the noise there?
Sure. This is Elaine. We will benefit from the tax law, and you know, a lot of people have focused on the fact that we're a fairly highly leveraged company, and so the lack of deduction of interest expense is a concern. But the truth is that the lower rate, along with the 100% depreciation rules, more than offset that. So we expect that we'll have about $6 million in cash tax benefit and for our fiscal 2018. Now, some of that will come in the fourth quarter, and fourth quarter estimated taxes are actually paid in the first quarter. So some of that $6 million will show up really in the first quarter of 2019. But on an annualized basis going forward, we think for 2018 it will be about a $6 million benefit. We think that our effective cash tax rate will be about 26%. And there's lots of ins and outs about that, and I would suggest that you give Stephanie Zarate a call after this, and we can walk you through kind of what things you add in and what things you back out to get to cash taxes. In terms of the fourth quarter, I don't have the specific amount of cash taxes that we paid in the fourth quarter, and again, Stephanie can get back to you on that dollar amount. I think I have somewhere in my records here what we paid for the full year, and I think it's not a very material number, but Stephanie can follow up with you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
This concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Stephanie Zarotti. Please go ahead.
Thank you all for joining our call today. As a reminder, we will be presenting at the J.P. Morgan Conference in Miami, Florida on the 27th of February. The conference call will not be webcasted, but a copy of the slide deck from the presentation will be available on our website around 1 p.m. Eastern. Thank you all. Have a great day.
This conference has now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.